Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is April the 8th, 2021. So today we're going to talk about ongoing conversation from our talk last time on pressure to perform for high school students to get college sports scholarships, and just general pressure that high school kids are going through. I have a number of them that I'm working with now. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, case studies with them and, you know, real life situations that we're dealing with now. Many of you may be dealing with high school kids. I know, Dave, you're working with high school kids up in Utah, and Anna L. in France, and June in Texas with Equestrian, maybe working with kids and adults, and I know John in Nebraska, working with lots of swimmers and lots of different sports, and we've got Farley and Greg and George, lots of people in our program who are working with different kinds of athletes. So I wanted to talk about, you know, what kinds of pressures high school kids are going through and address the mental health and insecurities of athletes, of your athletes, and how college pressure, just the situation, it can actually help you get more clients for your coaching practice so you can help them, because it is a tough situation, but it can also be a good opportunity for us to work with top athletes, with high school athletes of any level, and be able to help them get through this pressure, no matter what they're facing. And I think now is the time really to attract high school athletes to your coaching, and college, and athletes of any age. So, specifically, you know, now we're getting through the last part of this pandemic and people are getting vaccinated soon. You know, all people up to the age of 16 will be able to be vaccinated, so that will include a lot of teenage athletes that are working toward college. So that means, I know in California, Governor Newsom just announced that California will be able to open up, should open up June 15th for most things, business as usual. Sports programs can open up, and kids can go to school in person. So that's all good news, that a large part of the country is getting vaccinated and that we are moving forward with that. So now a lot of parents are wanting to, you know, sign their kids up for sports programs or get them back into programs. So this is a really good time for you to look, maybe talk to high school programs to about how you could help. Maybe talk to athletic directors or doctors who work with athletes. So yeah, lots of things you can do, and it's good timing. Many athletes are now returning to sports practice. And so you can help your athletes make this transition now from, you know, not being able to practice or do anything for a long time to being able to, you know, suddenly get back into competition. For many, it's like going from 0 to 100 all at once here. And you can help them reduce the pressure and increase the enjoyment and fun factor and help your athletes' confidence to perform in front of, you know, audiences, in front of their parents, and specifically college recruiters or college scouts that might be watching as well. they might never know when they'll be there watching, or sometimes they do know, and it can create a lot of pressure. So there's, you know, athletes have a major concerns, because they're really, this, they might be thinking this is the, will make or break their careers, their ability to get into the school if they want. And then we can talk about concerns that sports parents have as well, and the effect of college coaches as well. So now I wanted to talk about first, the fact that, you know, you have a statement that I think is really true, that a lot of teenagers sense that the country has split into, you know, winners and losers, and there's those people who are going to make it and those that aren't, and they believe that getting into the right college is the ticket to future security. And so, and so for many athletes and parents, the right college might mean one of very few colleges. If it's in the U.S., it might be the Big Five, you know, Stanford and Princeton or Harvard. Those schools are considered the only schools that they can would consider a success. But, of course, there's so many great colleges and so many great programs and many levels of scholarships. And even if they don't get a scholarship, they can still often play sports in schools. So there's lots of – you can help them with broadening their decision of what winning is. And – you know, a lot of athletes think that just getting a B on a test can, it can trigger a panic or flailing on the basketball court or striking out during an important game. I have a softball player now that thinks of that. It might be more consequential than it is. And so high school kids have come to feel like the stakes are higher and higher and there's less room for mistakes. So I wanted to talk now about, I've got some specific cases, just to talk about first a few, to give you an idea of the picture of how big a problem this is. I think, you know, student athletes are often subjected to a huge amount of pressure, having to balance their academic studies with their sporting commitments and the greater level of stress. It's in part due to the decreased amount of time that they have to complete the increased responsibilities. They've got to do all these things at once, and now with the pandemic, of course, they're studying, having to study online and look at screens way too much. And there was one study regarding student-athletes that in athletic programs found that student-athletes were between 10 and 15% will experience, you know, major psychological issues that are severe enough to warrant some sort of counseling or therapy. And the problem is student-athletes are less likely to seek out professional help than other people. And so, but they will seek out sports psychology coaching because, you know, rather than just straight therapy. And I think that's the good news for us, that sports psychology is in more demand than ever before. And so we are really needed at this time. And the reasons that athletes often are fearful or don't seek out help is their fear of appearing weak or losing time or losing the respect of their peers and coaches, fear of being seen as needing psychological assistance. But of course, if you can call yourself a performance coach, and that really helps to be able to attract people. And so also, it's important to note that, you know, between 10 and 20% of student-athletes suffer from depression, and so that's a huge amount. So we really need to be working with them around the depression issue, and they experience mental health problems such as substance abuse, you know, alcohol or drugs, and also social anxiety is huge because of social media and all the comparing that goes on there. And so, and of course, in females, more in females, there's eating disorders that are found at a much higher rate, say 8%. I mean, it's really high. Student athletes suffer from bulimia and about 1 or 2% from anorexia. And these rates are much higher than with the non-athlete counterparts. And so, you know, because they have coaches that are saying they need to lose weight in order to perform well, and they equate losing weight with performing well and getting a college scholarship. So we need to help them with that and focus on being able to eat in a really healthy way and train in a way. So they might be at risk, student-athletes, for a number of reasons. And those reasons are including, you know, pressure to for academic deadlines. You know, a lot are working on SAT tests, although some colleges don't have that requirement now. And with excess sporting commitment also, there's the age increases. Because of the age, they're at risk for certain disorders, like eating and substance abuse disorders, like we talked about. And university, high school to university is a time of transition. There's significant changes in their life. And so usually psychological disorders are found to worsen during periods of transition or change. So we can give them the skills to help with that. I'll talk about that in a moment. And physical difficulties like sleep problems, fatigue and aches and pains, including headaches, physical tension, digestive issues, we see a lot of. And one key thing is their identity. High school kids' identity might be strongly tied to being an athlete, and they may find that their academic workload restricts them from training as much as they would like. And so also, you know, because they're training more than usual, they may be have the potential of suffering serious injury or getting cut from the team or experience conflict with other team members or coaches. So some signs to look for are things like social isolation, a decline in their athletic performance, not eating well, mood swings, changes in sleep pattern. They might be really consistently fatigued, and that can lead to, you know, taking drugs to be able to stay awake, or even medications for staying awake, which can be highly addictive. Or they may be underperforming because of stress or pressure from parents or coaches, and long stretches of kind of apathy, not caring. So those are things to look for. And I think I want to give you a couple of examples of that. One athlete I'm working with right now, a new athlete, a 16-year-old golfer, is came in for some issues around wanting the college scholarship again, and he says that right now it's April, and he said by the end of this summer the process ends. So he's feeling like there's, you know, he's a junior, going to be a senior, but by the time he's a senior, it's, if he doesn't get recruited, he feels like it's too late. And so just the way that he phrased it to me, by the end of the summer, the process ends, meaning he's feeling like this incredible deadline is right there, and that he needs to, it's now or never, so there's a tremendous amount of pressure there from himself and from his father as well. And so he's gotten a chance to be able to talk with the people from our local college here, and which is one of the top 10 in the USA, so he has a huge chance there, but he also feels like it's a huge chance to mess up and to not do as well. He's a perfectionist, which a lot of athletes tend to be, and he is very impatient, tends to rush things. He said that he'll, he's thinking about college and also professional golf, but he's looking at, for college, it's $40,000 a year at the college that he wants to go to, or one of them. And so he's realizing that, you know, he might have, it's either getting this major college scholarship or being able to, or possibly being in debt for many years or for a big part of his life because of these student loans. He'd have to take out of course, parents can help, but they're putting a lot of pressure on him, too. And so he's playing his golf, and his basic college scholarship is like $1,000 a year, $1,000, which doesn't go far when you're looking at $40,000 for the cost of school. So it's important to know that there's scholarships on many levels. So it's, they give a basic scholarship, and then they add on to that based on your performance. So it really puts a lot of pressure on performance to be able to get a bigger scholarship. And so, you know, with his golf, he, for instance, he has a bad shot, he gets frustrated, he's confused, because he has statements like, I'm running out of time, and he says, I start thinking of that shot, and I visualize bad shots, and the picture in my mind is just bad shots that are going to, because I just hit a bad shot, I'm going to be hitting more bad shots. That sort of thing, and it makes him impatient and going too fast, not doing his regular pre-shot routine. He's rushing things and wants to just get it over with. He says he plays too aggressively. And a lot of overthinking, you know, all the what ifs, a lot of overthinking for, you know, what's about the game itself and then the ramifications of that for schools. So there's a lot of that going on, and he, you know, he says that his mental pictures in his mind are of the bad shots. So that's one example that I wanted to give you. Someone I'm working with. What I did with the first session was have him tell me about a good performance that he did have, and he told me he was able to turn around a good shot, and. I ask him to talk about, ask himself the right kinds of questions. You know, we tend to ask ourselves the negative questions, like, why did this happen to me? Why is this so difficult? Why can't I get this right? And the left part of the brain tends to beat you up, or beat ourselves up for that and just overanalyzing, overthinking things. So I ask him to instead ask himself a good type, positive action questions, what I call positive action questions that can lead to moving forward and improvement. So ask, instead of saying, why did I make that bad shot, ask yourself, what's good about this? And he said, I picked the target before the shot. The shot was straight. I was committed. So those were good things that he was able to come up with his golf. And then I ask him, okay, now let's ask the question, how can I use this situation to my advantage? And he said, I'm close. Well, in that situation, I could say I'm close to the hole. I'm in the drop zone. He'd say, I have another opportunity to improve my score. That was one of the best things he said, I think. And that's important to, that's relevant to any sport. You always have another opportunity to improve your score. And so I turned that into a, you know, power word statement and put that in a visualization for him. And it gives me a chance to work on recovering from a bad shot. That was another good thing. How can I use this to my advantage? I have another opportunity to improve my score. And he said, I can work on recovering from a bad shot. So those are good. And then learning, that was another question to ask him, ask yourself, what can I learn from this? What's the learning from this situation? And he said, I can club up this much on the with the wind. This is specific to golf, and some of you might not know the terms for that, but basically, you know, change how he holds his club depending on the wind. He can say that to himself. Or with the water, he can say, I can change my target to the left or right, you know, depending on the wind. So it's good to be able to have them say, you know, two or three things. What's the learning from this situation? And then to be able to say, what's the next step? So he said, I can stay composed, stay focused. I'm staying, and put it in the I had him put it in the present tense. I'm staying composed. I'm staying focused. And the next shot, be able to say, keep with my routine. Stay with what works. I'm keeping with my routine, saying what works. And then I can stay on task. I can stay on task. And then with the present focus, saying, how can I keep a present focus? We use the phrase, just this, and then you fill in the blank, just this. And I had him fill in that blank, just, for a tennis player, it might be just this serve, for a runner, just this mile, just this moment. For the golfer, he said, just this shot or just this swing. So we did that, and then I made him a ask him to describe a peak performance that he just had recently or a while ago, and he did that, and then we made a visualization based on that that I sent to, or I sent it both to him and his father, because I think a lot of times with email, a lot of athletes are more tuned into texting and not as much email, so it's, but they do have an email address, most high school athletes, so it's good to, I think, if you have permission, send the visualization audio to the parent and to the child so that they can both make sure they receive it okay that way. And I think in general it's better to communicate just by phone or by email, and not so much by texting, because that's not as secure. And I found sports parents tend to overuse it and tend to communicate too much with you with texting. So email is more professional and is better that way. And then with the peak performance, it's good to have them identify an anchor of some sort. When you were in that peak performance, what were you, do you remember something, a color, a shape, a word, or a physical gesture, something to remember that experience by? And he said, well, I remember when I was doing my best tournament, I was wearing a red sweater, and I had my black hat, and there was a blue tent for security there. So he remembered the colors. So that was helpful to remind him of what that was like, and that good performance. And so in this next, and then for homework, you want to give them a homework assignment. I have them write down on the left-hand side of the page with negative thoughts, and the right side write the positive thoughts and the reframing, so that he can turn those negative thoughts into positive ones. So now I wanted to talk a little bit about what you want to do with your athletes in general, and how coaches and sports staff can help. I think coaches are often the front line lines to athletes' mental health, and so it's good to communicate with coaches, so that they know that you are one of the resources that's available to allow their athletes to reach their maximum potential in sporting and their athletic commitments. So you can help with both, really. These same techniques help with both things. So it's good to for athletes. I think it's good to realize that their identity is often associated with their athletic success. They derive their personal identity from their sport, focusing a lot of time on the sport. And it can be really beneficial, leading to high performance, and yet has a chance of high levels of stress and depression with the ups and downs of the sport. I'm also working with a 16-year-old softball player, a girl who has a lot of ups and downs. You know, with softball, you only have a short, very short window of time to perform when she's up at bat. And so depending on what happens there, it can really improve your confidence, or can really put a hole in it. for a moment, depending on what happens there. So you want to be able to help with being able to handle the ups and downs of the sport. And then I wanted to give you some specific things that you can do with athletes, because I think that there often tends to be a dark side to sports, and the pressure to perform can really be unhealthy. So with athletes, high school, they often get calls from college recruiters who are dangling the possibility of an athletic scholarship, and with your athlete, and maybe pressure from coaches also to lose weight or to gain muscle to get to the next level. There's all that going on, which can lead to, you know, eating disorders and or not eating properly or overtraining. And many teens, they dream about playing professional sports, and that lure of, you know, being wealthy and famous and getting paid to do something they love, it can really fuel their desire to do better. And that can all be a good thing, but it can also create tremendous amounts of pressure. And so enjoying being competitive at many schools, it means expensive sports camps and private lessons and working out for hours each day, even during the off season. So that pressure to become the best can really take its toll on athletes physically. And so it's important to help them manage that pressure, which it can come at a high cost. So one thing to look at overall is to encourage your athlete client, when you're working with them, to have a balanced life. Now you might think, yeah, right, that's impossible with athletics, to lead a balanced life. And you're right, in some cases, or often it is really difficult, and that balance is different for each person. But it's good to think about, you know, what happens if you get the scholarship, what happens if you don't get that, or if you only get a partial scholarship. It's, the odds of getting a full athletic scholarship are pretty slim. The chances of becoming a pro athlete are slim. So it's good to, I think, encourage athletes, but also give them the occasional reality check, and think about, you know, that it's important to spend time with your family and with friends, so that you can be able to have those other aspects of your life. So something doesn't go well in sports that day, you still got other things going on. And then you want to change, you know, work on the mindset of your athlete. That's what our area of expertise is, of course, with sports psychology, to be able to change your to handle the pressure. So changing the conversation, encouraging your high school athlete client to, you know, embrace and thrive on the pressure, you know, that it's going to help you build better yourself and build a stronger character. Connecting the feeling of pressure or nerves with a positive outcome. Like, when I feel this way, when I feel anxious or nervous, that helps me to perform better. You know, saying that to your athlete, to be able to improve, you know, say, to connect feeling the pressure with performing well, rather than saying, when I feel this pressure, that's when I mess up. You want to have them say, this can help me perform even better. So essentially, you want to create a motivational atmosphere with a message that your team can thrive, your high school athlete can thrive in the face of adversity, rather than an atmosphere of stress. So that's good to create that sense that pressure can be a good thing, and that it doesn't have to just only bring about stress, but it can bring about some really good performances. And then the next thing is also with relaxation techniques. This may be, you know, seem obvious that that's what, one of the things that we do, but it's really underused, I think, and overlooked, that you know, helping your athlete with things like breathing and progressive muscle relaxation, visualization. You know, creating those visualization audios is really key. I do one for each session for each of my athletes and try to get it to them right away so that they can focus on being able to use that. And it's going to help them with so many things, with being able to visualize success, mentally rehearse their game, their race, but also be able to manage the pressure that's going on and relax in lots of situations. So so making an audio for them and then emphasizing how to use it and when to use and to play it before they go to sleep. That's going to help them to be able to to be able to sleep better and to reduce stress. Just taking a drink here of my water. So also another technique is to work with the athletes and the parents and the coaches to things that they can do to support their kids and not make the situation worse. And, you know, just being aware of that with if you see the parent and child the first time in your session there, you can notice what's going on. And, for instance, with the 16-year-old golfer that I work with, the main focus the parent had, he just kept saying the scores, he's got to get his scores down, he's got to get those scores down, we got to get this scholarship. And that's all he was emphasizing, which is, and I was educating the parent, I worked on educating the parent on the outcome. If you have too much focus on the outcome and the scores, then that's gonna it's gonna make the scores worse probably. And I said to both the athlete and the parent that, you know, let's focus on just this swing, just this shot, what you need to do right now to relax and just to hit a good shot. And that's and then once you do that, the scores will come. So saying something like that, I think, and then his father said, okay, Dad needs to be quiet and not talk right. And he realized that maybe he is getting in the way. So you have to be, it's a balancing act because, of course, the parents are paying for your sessions, so you want to get them on board with what you're doing, but also help them realize that they can help the situation by not overemphasizing the scores, or how you place or performance, but just encouraging their child to perform, to just focus on what you need to do to improve, working on yourself. So having the parents, and it's important for you to do this too when you're working with the athlete, to not just praise the athlete after good wins or performances, but also if there's a loss or something, to be able to look at that and focus on the effort level. What was the effort level? What was your attitude? What did go well there? What was good about that situation? What did you learn there? What's the next step? Asking them those questions. And telling the parent, I think, is important to not offer unsolicited advice on what to do in the next game or how to get better. Often parents are trying to coach the kids and tell them what to do when, in fact, that they know, often they're usually working with an athletic coach who's giving them specific advice, so they don't need more advice from the parents. And then another thing to work on with sports parents is not comparing your team's performance to another person on the team or overly praising another teammate, or if there's two siblings in one family, sometimes comparing one athlete to the other is really not good at all. And so emphasizing that, and even in your own language, to not say, you know, how are you doing compared to your brother or your sister or other athletes, but being able to just compare with yourself. If there's comparing going on, just be able to say, let's try to get better from where you are now. And oftentimes the parents emphasize what the family has sacrificed in order to support the team's athletics, and that's really a guilt trip, placing the guilt on the athletes. So being able to tell the parent to not talk about that. And of course, they're sacrificing a lot to support the team's athletics, but they need to be able to turn down the volume on that and just focus on support. And then talking to the parents about how they communicate with the child. If they're communicating disappointment, you know, with their facial expression, rolling their eyes, with their body posture, their vocal tone, all of that is communicates a lot, and they need to be aware of that. And oftentimes the parents are talking about the need to get an athletic scholarship or the need to perform better to turn your sports into a lifelong career. Boy, that puts really unneeded pressure on the child when they are not, when they've got so much pressure already. So it's good to have the parent tone that down. And also with yourself, with working with the athletes, and not talk about that need to get an athletic scholarship, but just that it's one goal out there, and that we want to focus on self-improvement and keeping the joy and the fun factor in the game. So those are some things that I wanted to emphasize there to change. So encourage a balanced life. And you a lifestyle, and you want to change the mindset to be able to embrace pressure, to build a stronger character. You want to work on relaxation techniques and focusing techniques, like your audios, deep breathing, and in different situations, how to do that, and helping the parent and coach to not make the situation worse. Telling them how to encourage and to not be able to do the comparing or the communicating disappointment, all of that, and the pressure for the athletic scholarship to tone down that part. I think, you know, another factor I wanted to talk about is to the sports becoming the child's only identity. I think, high school is a time when you're doing lots of things. You're the athletic performance, your academic performance, your a lot of them think social performance now with their social media profiles. They're wanting to get more likes on their social media profiles. That's another competitive kind of thing. And so I think when sports becomes the teenager's whole identity, the more pressure he's going to feel to be the best in the school and then the region and the state and the country, so and then the world. And so I think it's good to, be able to maybe hold down a part-time job during the off-season, do other things, be more well-rounded. You want to be aware, too. Sometimes parents aren't even aware that the child might be having a substance abuse problem. And so you want to look out for signs, and you can point this out. Then sudden increase in muscle mass or severe acne, those can be side effects of, say, taking steroids, needle marks on arms or legs, extreme mood changes. Those sort of things can be side effects of taking, say, performance-enhancing drugs. And so even the legal supplements, they can be harmful taken in high doses. So be on the lookout for someone who's taking, say, a large amount of vitamins or powders or other supplements. You know, a basic vitamin supplement is okay, but a lot of times they may do that in extremes. So it's good to be aware of that. And then I think helping an athlete stay calm during games or practices is good. You want to avoid the discussion of just winning or losing. It's really important to win this game. I think it's better to help athletes to be able to just do a good effort, do their best, and then let the results take care of themselves. Often in team sports, of course, an athlete could be doing their absolute best, but the team lost anyway. Had nothing to do with the athlete's individual performance. So it's important to put that in perspective, that you just focus on what you can do. And so one exercise you can do with them on that, that I do with my golf athlete and softball athlete as well and other many athletes over the years, is to say, let's make a list of those things you cannot control, you know, like the weather, like with my softball athlete, we talked about that this last time, and she said, I can't control the other team's pitcher. She's a softball player, and she's the catcher. I can't control the other team's pitcher or their roster, their players, how they play. I can't control the coach's mindset, their decisions. Can't control the umpire's calls. I can't control my teammates and how they play. Can't control the weather. Can't control delays when the game starts. Can't control the traffic. You know, getting to the game, so it's important to get there early. And then we talked about things that you can control, and that's important to make a list of those, and then you can do a visualization audio on just based on that. Just putting down the things you can control, not the things you can't, on the audio, because you want to emphasize the positive. So saying, if she listed, my softball player said, I can control my own mindset and control the way I play, my focus, that I'm doing what I love doing. I can be prepared ahead of time. I can be ready for the game. I can eat well beforehand, be well hydrated, get my uniforms ready. I can sleep 8 to 9 hours the night before. I can put my phone away away from the bed half hour before bedtime. That's really important. I emphasize that because most teens are on their phones right up till they go to sleep. I can control my attitude, be excited, aggressively playing. I can have good effort level, 100%. I can, the three times I'm usually up at bats, I can say embrace the pressure if there's two or three people on base and do my best. I can say to myself, I'm good with the pressure. I do well under pressure situations. She said, I can hit a fly ball with people on base and they can advance even if I don't get to run. You know, when I hit a fly ball, the others can advance their base. So even if it gets caught, I can get my equipment ready. She said, I can be well rested, eat a good breakfast, drink plenty of water. I can arrive early. So those are all things that she said as an example of a softball player, high school athlete who can control things. And so she realized, wow, there are a lot of things I can control. And we focused on those and did an audio around that. And then she also emphasized being aggressive when up to bat and be there. I want to be there for my teammates and be excited for the game. When I'm catching, she plays the role of a catcher, to be calm and to know all the signs, be ready for anything and have good communication with the pitcher. So she came up with all of those ideas for what she can control, and that helps. She's working on that this week to be able to handle the pressure there. So different things that you can also do is, you know, keep the traditions in place. Encourage the parents to go out to lunch after the game, or whether the team wins or loses, you know, to be able to celebrate just being able to play and to talk about the game. Being able to let the high school athlete decide if they want additional training, like camps or private instructors. That because it might be too much pressure. So, yeah, those are things that I emphasize here for this. And then we'll talk about more of these things next time. And if you have questions, you can email me, and I'll answer them by in our next session or by phone. I'll send you an email with your answers. And so I think those are things that next time we could talk about some things to help with in working with parents, what they can do to help with their athletes as well. And if you have suggestions for topics that you'd like me to discuss, we can just let me know, and I'll include those on our next upcoming sessions. Our calls, we have these calls, you know, every second and fourth Thursday of the month. So the next one will be on April the 22nd. So you can put that on your calendar, April the 22nd. And just want to thank everyone for coming. I know several of you were calling in and with your phones muted because you're traveling or out doing things, so that's fine. So I'll talk to you. I'll have this recording up shortly, and then we'll talk again on our PECI call on the 22nd of April. And you can access the replay. I'll send it by email, and it'll be on the website as well. So I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, everyone, for participating, and we'll be in touch. Happy to help. Thanks. Bye now.